Trending Topics with Legal Conclusions, brought to you by Pepper and Odom Law Firm. You're listening to Legal Roundup.
Hey everybody, Attorney Everett Pepper here with Attorney Daryl Porter Jr. We're with Pepper and Odom Law Firm here in Ridgeland, Mississippi, and we're coming to you today on our podcast. We think we got a pretty interesting topic to talk about today. Daryl, thinking about doing a topic on why the Mississippi River is running so low. Have you heard about that?
Yeah, I have heard about it, and it's the craziest thing, because if you recall about a month and a half ago, we were talking about, or it was a big topic about the massive flooding that we were experiencing here in Mississippi. Mm-hmm. And now, a couple months later, we're talking about the river being dry.
Yeah.
It's kind of bizarre.
Me and one of my friends, we hunt over in Arkansas. Mm-hmm. Of course, we have to cross the Mississippi River Bridge when we go into Arkansas. And I didn't really pay that much attention going over there. But coming back, we were looking out the window and it just doesn't look right. It's sort of strange. I mean, you can see so much dirt on each side, you know, especially on the side where the river's the shallowest. It's receded all the way up into like the deepest parts of it now. It looked very strange.
Wow.
Of course, it's been dry here for about the last month or so.
That's true.
But after the flood, we really hadn't got much rain since then. From what I was looking online, it looks like it's mostly been a drought up in the Mid-South and the Midwest, and just a lack of rain up in the Ohio River Valley area.
Yeah.
And that's really, because that's where it starts at. It just obviously gets, as it comes south, I think it's still extremely dry up that way. And that's what's caused the drop in it. One of the things I was thinking about as we was getting ready to do this today was just how much that affects commerce.
Definitely.
You know, because right now it's harvest season for all the grains, and they grow a tremendous amount of grain up in that area. And a lot of it is shipped down the river by the barges. And of course, the river levels are so low now, the barges can't even, you know, come down the river. So
that's right.
It's, with all the shortages we've been having, it makes me concerned, is there going to be a grain shortage coming up?
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, I read where it's actually projected to get even lower than what it is now. I do remember reading that it's approaching the lowest level since 2012 in certain areas of the state. And that's interesting that you're able to bring that perspective, because you've done, or you do some farming too, don't you?
Well, yeah, when I was growing up, of course I hadn't in years, but even then it wasn't nothing to compare to the size of the level. I grew up in rural North Mississippi, and they have farming up there, but like compared to what they have out in the Midwest and stuff like that, it's a small speck compared to that.
Yeah.
But I understand the harvesting seasons, and if you're not going to be able to transport it and get it to market, you got to have somewhere to store it.
Right.
That's just the supply chain issue.
Yeah.
It affects, you know, the grain. I mean, it obviously affects the human consumption food too, but a lot of that grain is used to feed cattle. You got so much wheat and corn coming out of that area. And that stuff, it's not just shipped in the United States, that's just shipped all over the world.
That's right.
And, I mean, most of it goes through New Orleans, through the port down there. Well, if they can't get from Ohio to, you know, down to New Orleans or from wherever, that's a big problem, because just for the spoliation of it.
Right.
You gotta get it somewhere or store it pretty quickly.
Right. And the river serves as a main thoroughfare for shipping, correct?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Another thing along the same lines I was curious about is just how it's affected, the work in the area.
Right.
You know, if the barges are shut down, that's obviously affecting the people that work on them.
That's right.
It affects everybody that has anything to do with the maritime industry in that area.
That's right.
You know, there's a lot of commerce up and down the Mississippi River.
That's right. You got several ports up and down the Mississippi River. Let's just take, for instance, Natchez and Vicksburg here. Mm-hmm. So I imagine if the barges are not able to get up and down the river, that it also affects the employment at these ports as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, this is just a big chain, a large chain of people and things being affected, and eventually makes it to us, obviously the consumer as well.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't even thought about the fact that you're shipping products to feed cows, shipping products that have to go overseas.
Mm-hmm.
And man, it's just a huge chain of events. From the Mississippi River being dried, it affects so many people.
Yeah, it trickles out. Like a lot of the grain is shipped from up in the Midwest down the Mississippi River into the port at Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think I heard somewhere that the Mississippi River in general is the lowest it's been in like three decades.
Wow.
And I think in Memphis it's the lowest it's ever been. Or that ain't recorded ever been.
Yeah.
And Memphis is a pretty big hub.
Oh yeah.
A lot of the grain, when they get it off the barges, it goes on to the trains. Mm-hmm. And then they haul it by train to wherever else out in the country that it may go. And so it doesn't just affect the barges and the tugboats and the people that work on them and the people that work at the ports. It also affects how much of transportation it has with the people that work on the train industry and then when it arrives at the processing mills. And it just trickles out all over. And like you said, yeah, it ends up costing more. Makes it more scarce and it costs more. And that's just one more problem since COVID that's come up that we don't need right now is anything, any further disruption to the food supply chain.
That's right. That's right. I know we've already dealt with the issue of having goods that have been sitting out in the ocean on barges because there were not enough people to unload the barges are quick enough or to even transport it from the ports to the various destinations that it was needed. I think if you remember, I think second year of COVID, maybe even first year of COVID, that people concerned that when around Christmas time, they were concerned they weren't gonna get Christmas gifts because it was sitting out on a barge that was just sitting there waiting to be unloaded. But Pepper, it brings to mind though, how would maritime law, if any, how would that play into this river drought situation?
Well, I can see it having two sides to it. Mm-hmm. First, I mean, it's obviously in general, it's to do with the safety of the workers.
Right.
So if the water's down that low, they're used to the boats traveling through there, they could actually run aground, strike the ground, mm-hmm. Submerged obstacles, hit them, could cause injury to the workers that's on the barges and the tugboats or the boats that still can navigate the river. So that's one thing. I just think there would be a higher risk for people getting hurt. Right. Just because they're having to take different paths that they normally wouldn't have to worry about if they have to follow the deepest part of the river around to get through there, whereas normally they just straight shot down. Right. It's plenty of deep. So I could see a lot more danger being in navigating through the river as you're going up or down stream either one. Then on the flip side of the coin, I can see it also could cut down on some of the injuries just because there's not as many boats out. Not as many boats out there that's able to navigate the river. So obviously the smaller boats can still navigate more, but the barges and the larger type vessels like that, it's just going to be, they may not be able to move at all. Therefore, you just got people that's not working. So I think and on that side of the token, it might be less injuries. I can see it going either way with the maritime injury type stuff.
Yeah. It reminds me, you speaking about the boats running aground and people getting injured, reminds me of a case actually where a cruise liner ran aground. And I think the captain of that cruise liner, this has been some years ago, the captain of that cruise liner actually abandoned the ship. And I believe once they caught up to him, they charged him. He was brought up with criminal charges for one, running the ship aground when it was abordable, and two, actually abandoning the ship after the incident happened. I don't know if there were any civil suits brought against him for doing so, but I imagine if people were injured, which I believe they were, then not only did they bring up criminal charges, that's I'm sure some people brought up a civil suit against him as well. Not just him, but likely the cruise line as well, because he was at that time in the scope of his employment mm-hmm. when it happened.
Yeah, I hadn't seen that report. But one of the things I didn't know until probably about a year ago was when, like, the captain of a ship that's out on the ocean, mm-hmm. if they have to go upriver with it any piece, they're actually not the ones that go upriver. When they get to the port and they got to go further up the river, they actually bring in pilots. And that's their entire job, is to know how to navigate the dangers of that.
Right.
And I wasn't aware of that until recently, but I thought that was interesting. But it makes sense if you think about it, because operating a large vessel out in the ocean is a whole different thing than navigating a river like trying to go up the Mississippi River or something with a larger vessel like that.
Right. That brings, a good question, Pepper. So in the instance where you got these captains of these larger vessels that need to go upriver and you have these pilots that take over, if an incident occurs, who's held liable for that incident? Does the captain bear any responsibility and the company that he works for bear any responsibility, or is it all solely placed on the pilot of whatever vessel's pulling them through up the river? Does he have sole liability?
Well, I think it could go both ways. I also think you've got the owner of the boat.
Right.
And when they're around the port, they're in controlled water. So they're instructed what to do, when to go. The traffic is an area. I think you got a lot of people that could be liable, just depending on the facts.
Mm-hmm.
The commerce side of it, I read a statistic somewhere. It said like nearly, I think it was 92% of all U.S. agriculture exports come from the Mississippi River Basin.
Wow.
And I think, I believe it was 78% of the global exports of feed and grain and soybean come from there.
Wow.
That is a lot of grain moving up and down that river. There's going to be a, financially, it's going to be an effect. I think it creates shortages.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it could affect the workers. And just like you said, with Vicksburg, Natchez, Memphis, I mean, these are not rich states.
Right.
These are not rich areas of the country.
Right.
So every little thing hurts like that.
That's
so
right.
We have to be mindful of that, too.
Oh, yeah. Man, that just, again, going back to not realizing how much commerce actually moved up and down the river and the vast amount of people, not only within those cities, but not only the states that border the river, not even the country, but the entire world, how this affects, how it has a global effect.
Mm-hmm.
I had not thought about that.
The thing that's even more concerning is all the projections I've seen from the weather centers and stuff, they're predicted to go even lower.
Yeah.
There's not much rain in the forecast coming up either.
That's right.
You know, I don't know how much it would take to get it back up to,
right,
you know, normal levels, but there's severe droughts up in some of the Midwest.
And I guess the other part is that, I don't know this to be a fact, but I don't think it really typically rains a lot during this time of year.
Well, that's a good point. We're going into, you know, it's fall, so we're going into the winter season, and everything, the temperatures have already started dropping. I think
that's,
you know,
right.
Even today, I was outside, you know, I got a long sleeve shirt on, and I was thinking I should have probably brought a light jacket today.
Yep.
It's just not a normally rainy time of the year for us.
No, it's not. So I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if there's anything that could be done by man to get the water levels back up so many people won't be affected in a negative way.
Well, I mean, they can obviously, they have dredges that can come out and try to keep some of the channels open. But I mean, you can only go so far with that too. If there's just not enough water, there's just not enough
not
water.
Enough water,
I mean,
right.
With this coming up, it's going to be interesting in the next few weeks, unless we get some, not necessarily here in Mississippi, but they need some rain up in the Midwest.
Right.
And really need rain everywhere. I think we're under burn ban here now.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, so it's dry everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, I guess unseasonably dry for this time of the year.
That's right.
And has been for the last few months.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's about all the time we got today. Again, appreciate you coming and talking to me about this.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm sort of interested in this topic. Something I haven't seen, I can't remember in my lifetime ever seeing the Mississippi River that low.
You're right.
It's definitely an interesting topic.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, we're going to wrap it up again. I'm Attorney Everett Pepper, and this is Attorney Daryl Porter Jr., and we're with Pepper and Odom Law Firm here in Ridgeland, Mississippi, and we want to thank y'all for tuning in with us.
Thank you for listening to Legal Roundup, brought to you by Pepper and Odom Law Firm. If you live in Mississippi or Alabama and have been injured in a car wreck or some other accident due to someone else's negligence, call Pepper and Odom at 601-202-1111 or visit pepperandodom.com.